Good evening. Can you hear me? Let me scoot over one way so you can see. When I was asked to speak tonight, a lot of ideas run through your head. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. So tonight, I'm going to speak on communication. Thank you for my technical expert over there. There's three types of communication. There's verbal. An interesting story about verbal communication. My daughter went on an interview at UNCG. It was for a telecommunications job. She would be speaking on the telephone 99% of the time. The interview was going great till she got to one question. The guy asked her, "What does she not like to do?" She said, "Speak on the telephone." So that interview was gone over just like that. There's also nonverbal communication. I'll pick on my youngest daughter for this one. When she was learning how to play golf, she would always ask me, "What club should I hit?" So I'd pick one out. If she did not hit the shot well, nonverbally, she would tell me that that was a horrible choice. There's also written communication. This PowerPoint slide is a type of written communication. In September of 1986, I signed up for the U.S. Air Force. They told me that I wanted to work in electronic communications. 30 years later, they were right. Communication, it's a very important part of everyday life. And communication in the Christian's life is even more vital. Charles Stanley says about prayer, he says, "Prayer is an ongoing communication with the Heavenly Father and should involve listening, speaking, and acting on what we hear from Him." It's an ongoing communication. So can we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Now, before I read this small but very important verse, let's go back just over 70 years to January of 1945. There was a major German offensive that was launched in a densely forested region in Belgium, France, and Luxembourg on the Western Front. The famous Battle of the Bulge was in its final days. And as we know now, World War II in Europe would end just 4 months later in May. Now, during this famous battle, the 2nd Battalion from the U.S. Army's famous 506 Parachute Infantry Division was given the task of leading the assault to capture the town of Foy. It was led by E Company, or Easy Company, but it involved the whole 506 at one point. The plan was to take Foy through a direct charge. Now, during the attack, Easy Company was not moving forward at a favorable pace. Now, with the delay and through the fog of war, another company, I Company, or Item Company, was stranded on the far side of the town. They were cut off from the rest of the platoon. They were without a radio, and they had no other means of communication. Without any way to receive communication, they were unaware of the unfolding circumstances around them, and they didn't know what to do. Upon learning of their situation, a First Lieutenant Ronald Spears of D Company, or Dog Company, immediately ran through the village of Foy. It was a village full of German soldiers and tanks. One eyewitness said later, "The Germans were so shocked at seeing an American soldier running through their lines, they forgot to shoot." Once Spears joined up with Item Company and told them of the current situation, he ran back through the town, once more crossing through German lines. It was a feat of incredible bravery, and the 506 would eventually take the town of Foy, thanks to the communication of Lieutenant Spears. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, or to keep in constant communication with God. We see from the battle that when we lose communication, we're stranded and become unaware of what to do. Prayer or communication is a two-way street. Don't think of prayer as a telephone where I'm talking, you're talking, we talk over each other. Think of it as an old CB radio or a walkie-talkie. You push to talk, and then you wait for the other person to respond. We read in the Old Testament that David communicated with God each morning without ceasing and waited on his answer. Turn to Psalm 5:3. Psalm 5:3 says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." And I will look up, or wait. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." We wait until He answers each request according to His will. Yes, no. Sometimes He may want us to grow through our challenge, and He says, wait. We wait for God's perfect timing. F.B. Meyer, if you don't know who F.B. Meyer was, he was a Baptist pastor and an evangelist in England in the early 1900s, and he was a friend of D.L. Moody. He once said, "We miss many answers because we get tired of waiting on the docks for the returning ships." He didn't say we get tired of watching the ships sail off. That's the easy part. But having the patience for them to return. You see, God is always seeking to direct us according to His will. But if we're not actively listening or communicating and waiting for His answer, we'll miss His instruction and sail the wrong way, or maybe we just won't go. In January of 1987, I was in basic training in San Antonio, Texas. If you want to learn how to pray without ceasing, go to basic training. We had rules and regulations for everything, especially our appearance. We had two training instructors through that 6 weeks. One sergeant came in the morning, the next sergeant came in the afternoon. One morning, sergeant came in, and he told me my pants were too short. He communicated in the way that only a drill instructor can, if you've ever been. He communicated verbally, non-verbally, and if I didn't do what he said, it would be a written communication. Well, that afternoon, the next sergeant came in. Guess what he told me? My pants were too long. And he said it verbally and non-verbally, just the same way. So I prayed. I prayed without ceasing for God's guidance. And guess what happened? I didn't do anything to those pants, and I never heard another word about it. He answered my prayer. I guess what I'm trying to say is that as Christians, we should always put prayer first. We need to communicate with our loving Heavenly Father. We need to develop an attitude of prayer, an attitude of communication that kicks in automatically as we go about our daily lives. Lieutenant Spears took off immediately. He did not think. It was his first instinct. Whenever we face a trial, big or small, communication with God should be the first thing we do. And not just through trials, but in every aspect of our lives. God's interested in everything we do. Whether He's looking for something you've misplaced, your drive to work, what we eat, and all the small things in between. I mean, there's a lot to pray about, no matter how big or small. We should pray without ceasing. We need to be in constant communication with God, in His Word, in His walk. If not, how can I expect which way to go? But more importantly, how can we communicate to others about what Jesus has done in our lives and what He can do in theirs. How can we communicate the great news of salvation? He's called us to communicate His Word to others. Let's turn to Mark 16:15. Jesus was talking to His disciples here. Mark 16:15. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. According to a recent Lifeway research poll, almost 3,000 churchgoers were asked, "In the past 6 months, about how many times have you shared how to become a Christian?" 61% said zero. 25 said 1 to 2 times. 14% said 3 or more times. Now, in this day and age, we have multiple means of communication. We have multiple means of communicating the Word of Jesus, especially with the internet, and specifically social media. I can tell everyone I know, and some that I don't, where I am, what I'm thinking, and what I'm doing instantly. Wikipedia.com lists 210 active sites for social media. I'm sure there's more. The more popular sites are Facebook, everybody's heard of, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. In 2014, Facebook alone had over 1.2 billion registered users. 1.2 billion. According to BusinessInsider.com, each user post on Facebook is seen by an average of 35% of that user's friends. If I have 100 friends, 35 people see what I put on Facebook. Just think, if you posted a verse and someone shared that verse, and someone shared that verse, how many people would see the Word of God? It could reach thousands who otherwise would not hear it or just reject it altogether. I know when I post something, I always wonder if my friends that are unsaved see it. I wonder if they read it. I know they do. Some of them argue against the Word of God on there. Now, we can literally share the Word of God from anywhere, anytime, to anyone. I posted some stuff today on Facebook. How many friends I got on Facebook here? Well, I got 2. How many real friends do I have? Not everybody's raising their hand. That's all right. Now, our objective is not to gain more friends or followers. It should be to gain more followers of Jesus. And there's still the old-fashioned way, just talking to someone in person, knocking on doors, leaving tracts at a restaurant. We have our basketball, our prison ministry. There's many, many more different ways. How many of you have heard of Tim Tebow? He's a popular Christian quarterback. He played for Florida. He played in the NFL. He had a very unique way of spreading the gospel. He used to write verses on his eye black. Can you see that? John 3:16. In the 2009 BCS Championship game, he wrote John 3:16 on his eye black. Over 90 million people searched that verse on Google. 90 million. I don't know what's more surprising, 90 million people looked it up, or 90 million people didn't know one of the most popular verses in the Bible. But just think, if 10% of that 90 million, 9 million people receive Christ, or even 1%, that's 900,000 people. Now, we know when we share the gospel, we have no control over the results. The results are not ours to worry about. I remember what Mike Atwood said. He said, "I've done my job. It's in God's hands." Our responsibility is to spread the word. I mean, we may never see the Lord work that day, or never. We may see Him work that day, or we may never see Him work. Or it could be years from now. Last summer, I had a reunion with my Greensboro All-Star Baseball team. from 1985. It was Battleground over at Stoner Whitefield. The mother of one of my teammates told me that she and my mom would talk about Jesus during our games. I thought she was watching. She's talking about Jesus in the stands. That's great. She also told me that my mom was thankful that they let her play BBN on her radio at work. Nowadays, people got earphones in their ears. Back then, she was playing BBN. You know everyone heard it. I just wonder how many people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only he knows, but she was spreading the word. And that's what we need to do. Now, that revived me that day. That was great hearing that. Sometimes seeing God's word pop up on social media is just what I need sometimes during the day. Or maybe it's a text, an email, or maybe a phone call from a fellow believer. It's reviving. It is. I always hear that we need revival. You hear that? So I Googled it. We pray for it, but we hardly ever act on it. Sometimes we wait for someone else to start. The Webster definition is a period in which something becomes popular again after a long period of time. The Christian definition is a spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. You might ask, what does revival have to do with communication? Well, I believe it begins in each individual heart by studying His Word and communicating with God. Praying, Lord, how do You want me to spread the message of the gospel? A skeptic once made a comment to evangelist Billy Sunday in the early 1900s. He tried to make the point that since personal revival wasn't permanent end-all to temptation, sin, and failure, times of revival really weren't important. He told Sunday, revival just doesn't last. Sunday just smiled and replied, well, a bath doesn't last either, but it's good to take one occasionally. Now, before we close, I know there's an important game tonight. If we can just go back to the story I was telling at the beginning of the message, there's one thing that really caught my mind. That what the eyewitness said about Lieutenant Spears. The Germans were so shocked at seeing an American soldier run through their lines, they forgot to shoot. They forgot to shoot. Now, I'm convinced that through my Christian walk, as lazy of a walk that it was and still is sometimes, that the devil was not concerned at shooting his fiery darts at me. My prayers were empty and selfish. There was no need for him to waste his time on me. I wasn't spreading the gospel. I wasn't acting for Jesus. We hear the saying a lot, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Let's also make him tremble by getting up off of those knees and communicating the great news of Jesus Christ to everyone by all different means of communications. Anytime, anywhere. This life's a constant battle, but if we can keep our eyes, our hearts, our minds, and our communication focused on Him, there's nothing that can hurt us. He's already won. So if we can communicate this victory to everyone, to unbelievers, that they may know Jesus and His salvation. And to those who believe, for encouragement. Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote in one of his songs, he says, think about this. If we really have been given the gift of life that will never end, and if we've been filled with living hope, we're going to overflow. And if God's love is burning in our hearts, we're going to glow. There's just no way to keep it in. He also went on to say in that song to wake up. Wake up our neighbors and get the word out. That song is called Live Out Loud. That's what I'm going to strive to do every day. I challenge each and every one of you to do that also. To live out loud for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity of fellowship tonight. We thank You that like David, we can bring our requests to You each morning and all day without ceasing, and wait expectantly for your answer. We have brought many requests to you tonight, and we thank you that you hear each and every one, and that you will answer according to your will and in your time. Lord, we thank you for your Son who died on that cross, and we ask that you would help each and every one of us to communicate to the world that not only did he die, but he arose again and lives in our hearts, that we may have eternal life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.